Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
All right, good morning. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Today we're continuing in our series, Words That Speak Life. Our text will come from Proverbs chapter 17. If you have a Bible and you want to go ahead and turn there. My word, there is Baylor Phillips in the house, 5 days old. Welcome to church, buddy. It's exciting, very exciting. People getting married, babies being born. So much excitement in the house. So that was really fun. Did you see that in that song right there? This is just off script. Did you see that in the song? If every stalk on the earth was a quill, it was a pen that you write with. Every stick, every blade of grass on the earth is a pen. And the ocean, do you see the ocean, the Atlantic, the Pacific, filled with ink? And you look up across the sky and you see one big parchment, one big sheet of paper, and everybody in this room and everybody in the world, we have one job. We are scribes by trade. What do we do for a living? We write. And so we all go get our pen, we all go dip it in the ocean, and we begin to write the love of God, and all of a sudden, there is no ink left. And we haven't even begun to write the love of God. It's so rich and pure, measureless and strong. That's the love that we're celebrating today. And just soak that in. That was good. I didn't know you were going to sing that. They're just good. It's good. My word. And so as a church, we have, if you're here for the first time, we moved through every verse of Proverbs chapters 1 through 9, and once we landed in chapter 10, and I'm in Psalms, once we landed in chapter 10, we, from there on, it's just little one-liners. And so we're doing a series right now about words that speak life. Death and life are in the power of the words that are coming off of my lips and coming off of your lips. So we want to be filled with wisdom in our hearts so that the words that we speak are life-giving, not life-taking, that they are promoting the health and the life of other people to come to know Jesus. And so we're not claiming that we have this all figured out. That's why we're studying it together, and we're trying to grow together. And so today, we're asking, do my words bless or curse? Oh, it didn't move. Give me some help. There you go. Thank you. Do my words bless or curse whenever they speak? I also really just soak this in today and think about it and just evaluate what we're saying and how we're saying it and how we're reacting and how we're being life-giving and life-taking throughout our week. So whenever God, if we think for just a second, whenever God called Abraham out of his country in Genesis 12, in the first book of the Bible, and God told him, look, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And then God said this in verse 3, in fact, I'm going to bless those who bless you. Abraham, think about this. When people come into your life and bless you, I'm going to bless them through you for blessing you. So the blessing flows. But look, I will curse those who curse you. If people come into your life, don't try to take it into your own hands. Just turn it over to me. I will curse those who curse you, Abraham, because I want them to know that they're attacking the one true God, the God of Israel. I want them to come to know me, because when they curse you, they're cursing me, and they realize, well, you can't fight against God. And Abraham, let me put it this way, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God wants the blessing to flow, and we know God fulfilled this through the lineage of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So let's start our day off. Today's a day a lot of times I feel like where dads just get beat up, you know? You just get beat to death as if, you know, we're trying. And just let's see our Heavenly Father as the Father that wants the blessing to flow through His people to other people, to bless other people. And He wants to get our attention when it's not happening. So if you would, looking at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9, please stand with me in reverence and honor for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible word. Verse number 9 says this: He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a good, good Father. We ask that you would now bless the reading of your word as we move through the Proverbs, as we seek to store up wisdom in our hearts. We ask that your spirit would have the freedom this morning to draw the unbeliever to the goodness of who you are and move in such a way within your children, within the church, that we walk out and we are continuously learning what it looks like to give life, to speak life, to be a voice for the goodness of who you are so that others are drawn to you through our words. In Jesus' name, amen. So in order to kind of wrap our minds around this idea of blessing and cursing, let's ask this question. How do I respond when I have been wronged? See, in the text that we just read, there was, in the blue part, in the first half, there was a person that responded and said, I've been wronged again. Someone did or spoke a word to me that was not good. It was wrong. So I'm going to cover that. I'm going to forgive that. I'm going to try to do the loving thing and forgive that. But then there was the other person that said, you know what? Instead of forgiving it, I'm going to get upset about it. I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to either get back at the person and repeat it, or I'm going to let it flow through me to someone else. In fact, let's look at it this way. The curse is this. It's when I'm holding on to the wrong. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they did that. So I'm going to dwell on it. I'm going to replay it in my mind over and over. I'm going to let it dictate the rest of my day. It's as if it becomes my identity. Now, we know this happens to us all the time. At school, at work, in the home even. Things happen, things go wrong, but this is also a picture of something that may have happened to you or me a long time ago by what someone said or what someone did, someone that we look to maybe as that father figure, maybe as that coach, and it's still hurting today. It's still making me believe today, oh, maybe they were right. Maybe I am worthless. Maybe I am nothing but a, you just fill it in. Is that what God wants? So the curse is whenever we continue to hold on to it and harbor it in. Let's go to the next one. The curse is also when I repeat the wrong. It's whenever they did that to me, so now I got to go tell everybody else about it. They did that to me, and I just dwell and dwell, and you dwell on how we're going to get them back. How are we going to repay it? It may be the wishing evil on the person. I wish the worst things would happen to that. It's words replaying in our mind, right? It's words that can run through our mind in a split second where we only want the worst for that person. And so I'm not talking about the idea of sharing or testifying like we do in life groups or sometimes when we're getting to know each other and we're trying to understand how did you grow up and what was life like. This is the intentional act of I'm using my words and my thoughts to want the worst on the person or they pass that on to you, so now you go to school, or you go to work, or you go into your home and just unleash it on everybody else. So you see what was done here now becomes the flow through. It's flowing through me or it's flowing through you to someone else. But according to chapter 17, verse 9, and many of the wonderful things Jesus said, the blessing is this. When I forgive the one who wronged, when I say, no, that's not what my God has said about me. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to chew on it. I'm not going to let it fester. I'm not going to let it boil like a pot of water. We're going to deal with this right now. And maybe God's bringing something to your mind from this week. Maybe in the next 30 minutes, he's bringing something to your mind from a long time ago that he's just saying, hey, it's still there. I don't want it there. I want the blessing in there. I want my blessing to indwell you. I want it to flow through you because right now it's robbing you of what I want to say. And that's a big deal, right? Because we all, whether you are the kid or the teenager right now, whether we were the child, we look to people, don't we? We look to people and sometimes we put everything in that person and we get hurt. So I want us to talk about this in a way that helps us to make movements towards what it means to allow the blessing to take residence and stay and flow. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 12. And the first part of Proverbs 12, 18 says this. Here's what it looks like to receive the curse of harsh words. Verse 18 of Proverbs 12 says, there's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. There's the picture here in the Hebrew is there's moments in life where all of a sudden something abrupt happens. Someone disagrees with you quickly. You kind of walk into school, you walk into work, you're doing your thing, all of a sudden, whoa, someone is just aggressive and rude with you. You didn't even see it coming. Kind of catches you off guard. It's rash, it's harsh. And all of a sudden, it's with you the rest of the day. You know what I'm saying? It just kind of threw you off. Like, man, what did I do? Maybe what did I do to upset him? What happened to upset her? But it's a word that's so sharp. It's rude. It's aggressive that it just stops you in your tracks. Because it's like a sword. It's piercing. It hurts. It's a dagger. Proverbs 12:18 is saying, look, we want to deal with this. Urgently. We want to deal with this quickly because it hurts. But then the latter part of verse 18 says, but the blessing is this, but the tongue of wise brings healing. The blessing is whenever we pause and we say, all right, what does my heavenly Father say? What are his words? Right now I need comfort. I just got thrusted. I just got jabbed. And this is so neat how God puts us in one another's lives during our day. And maybe you're the person and you feel like you got jabbed. And just as if it was a coincidence, as if God isn't doing his thing all the time, and you cross paths with somebody that just speaks comfort into your life. You ever have that happen? They have the right words and they just speak peace into your life. He says, that's who I want you to be. When someone thrusts, God, will you put someone in my life? Will you give me the word from your word to bring healing? Because right now I'm feeling cut open. That's who he is. That's what he wants to be. And so the latter part of chapter 12, verse 18 says, look, I want my church people, not the people that's doing the thrusting. I want my church people that's coming in there to do surgery. I want to work through my people so that I'm the comfort in someone's day through you. I want to bring healing into people's day. Well, we don't become that. We don't just wake up and become that, do we? And so this has to be stored in our hearts. God wants us to be looking, to be listening, to be watching for that person that's hurting and just come alongside their day. And it may be a 5-minute conversation. It may be a 5-second conversation. It may be an hour conversation. But sometimes it may look like this. In chapter 11, verse 9, this would be called the curse of godless words. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor. Think about this. The Hebrew word here is the idea of something that just is profane to God's ears. It's something that's spoken into God's ears. God just walks away. You ever hear something and you're just, I don't want to hear that. I don't need to hear that. I don't want to know about it. And the idea here is when someone speaks a word that God says that is polar opposite of who I am, that's completely outside of me, and it's destroying the listener. The idea here is something nasty, something degrading, things, words that are immoral. It's whenever someone doesn't just think the worst, They just come out and say it to you. They just wish the worst upon you. It's those jokes. It's those jokes that make fun of someone's weight, of someone's skin color, of someone's mom, of someone's disability. It's those jokes that go to the extreme. And God says it's godless. And God says, look, look, when you hear those things, I want you to understand that curse doesn't have to stay with you. I want you to understand that the person who is speaking that is outside of me. That's not from me. That's from the godless one, the evil one. I don't want it to stick with you. So verse 9 of chapter 11 says this, goes on to say, But by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. The righteous are rescued. This is the blessing of knowing the word. As a church, if you're here for the first time, maybe you've been here 12 years, our heart and our desire is for people to know the word, to study the word, because we realize these kind of things are happening all throughout people's day. It's on social media. It's at work. It's at school. It's in the huddle on the team. It's all over, and it's filtering through our minds. And sometimes it can just wreck people's lives. And we want people to know the word. So when we hear these terrible things, that you can say, I know what my Heavenly Father has said about me. I know what He said to me. I know that He's called me by name, and I know that joke isn't part of it. I know how He created me, and I am fearfully, wonderfully made. That joke was not from Him. And so, jump with me to chapter 10, verse 11. Now the blessing of giving the word. The Bible says that the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Can you just hear your Heavenly Father say this? When people get thirsty, when people have heard a bad word, when they're being identified by a bad word, when they're being caught off guard by a bad word, I want you to be a fountain of life. I want them to be able to come to you thirsty and get me. I want them to come to you for a drink and you give them me, because you have me stored up in you. You have been forgiving those who hurt you, so there's plenty of room for me. But if I'm holding on to those that hurt me, my fountain is empty. And He says, I want you to be a mouth for me, to give people the life that I give. So let's put this together. The blessing is when I forgive, I get to give. I want you just to see this today, and maybe in a whole new light. Because maybe sometimes you've had a bad day at work, but we come home and our family gets the brunt end of it. What happened? I need to hear this. Hopefully we all need to hear. You had a really tough day at school, and what you need to come home to is a life-giving source from your parents. But it's just like it's just festering. It's just compounding, right? But God's telling us the blessing is when you stop at school and you stop at work and we stop in our day, maybe it's the person at the gas station. Man, they're just like everybody's on your case today. And God's saying, I want you to stop before you get home. I want you to stop before you walk into the living room. I know you're tired. I know you're worn out. I want you to stop. I want you to forgive that person. If you don't forgive, then you don't get to go into your family and give me. What they're going to get is they're going to get the leftovers. What they're going to get is the curse and the hurt that was given to you that day, and now it's going to go right into the home. Everybody, and it just keeps flowing, and everybody gets hurt. So chapter 10, verse 11 goes on to say this, the curse of threatening words. I want you to think about it. But the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. That word conceals in the Hebrew means is they're clothed with violence. What do people do? What do people say before they do something violent? They usually threaten. They usually threaten, right? They usually say, well, don't you make me come over there. I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to. It's threatening. It can come out of us so quickly. Maybe even this connects all the way back up to just how were we raised, how we heard our parents respond when things didn't go well. And so I want to say this to all the ladies. Can I say this to you? Of all the men in this room that are ordained ministers of the gospel, that are licensed to officiate a wedding. You know what we never do? We never just say, yeah, I'll do a wedding. I'll officiate a wedding. Sure, tell me when and where, and I'll show up. I'll be there. We never do that. I want you to hear this. I want this to be encouraging to you. We will only agree to officiate a wedding if we can first do what we call pre-marriage discipleship. In other words, we want to meet for hours. We want to meet multiple times, and we want to study. What does the Word of God say about a healthy marriage? And what are we signing up to have a healthy, good marriage? Here's why. One of the things that sometimes gets brought into a marriage is the violence of the upbringing. We want to talk about, what did you see in your home growing up? How did your mom relate to your dad? How did your dad relate to your mom? What was life in your home growing up? And it's not to beat up mom and dad, but it's to say, I want to be real with you. You're about to profess and make vows before God and the witnesses at your wedding. And we want to do everything we can to identify anything that was threatening in your home growing up that's going to carry into your marriage starting day one. Isn't that a good thing? And so it's dealing with the curse so we can get rid of the curse and be healed of the curse, because God wants the home to be blessed. He wants the marriage to be blessed. And when kiddos come into the picture, He wants mamas and daddies that are blessing their kiddos rather than just repeating the hurt. So all I'm asking this week is give attention. Pay attention to the tension. You know, those moments when it's just tense. It's tough. Parenting's tough. There's moments where we just butt heads, right? There's just moments where we disagree. But pay attention to the tension. I mean, this was tough for me this week and last week. I'm not going to deny it. Because we always want to be making a movement towards being healed of what was passed on to us. So let's do this. If we were to ask the question, How do I stop the curse and start the blessing? I mean, okay, yeah, that was good. I get it. Proverbs 10, 11, 17, that's good. I want it. But my encouragement is for the next few minutes that these would be practical, not steps, but just insight towards for all of us, but especially for the person that's saying, I get it. The very thing that I hated the most about in my home, sometimes I find myself being that person. That's real. God don't want that for us. I'm encouraging dads and moms today. And those of you who have that fatherly, grandfatherly, motherly shepherding role, let's start here. Let's see it as urgent. Let's see it as something that's not meant to be put off till next week and next year. And maybe I'll get in a Bible study one day and maybe then we'll deal with it. No, because a lot of times the root of all this is just, it's just bitterness. Something that was said or done to you was so hurtful that it's in there, and it's just eating. It eats from the inside out. Maybe here's a picture. What is that? It's pretty hard to look at. Does anybody know what it is? Termites. If you saw these in your home, well, you know, we'll deal with those termites. You know, we'll get around to it. At some point, if bitterness, if hurtful words being harbored could become a parable or an insect or a picture, this is what it would be. Slowly eating at the inside of each one of us. Okay, yeah, it was a rough week at work. Okay, if it didn't get dealt with, these little monsters start eating. And they don't go away until they're exterminated. They're there. So this is urgent. Number two, how do we stop the curse and start the blessing? We agree that God has not wronged you. In other words, we step back and we say, is God all loving? Yeah. Is God all sovereign? Yeah. Well, I don't understand how a loving God could sovereignly have allowed me to go through that. His family was never had my struggles. Her family just never went through what. Why did I have to be? Stop right there. Let's read Genesis 50, verse 20 for just a second. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people. You remember who said that? Say it again. Joseph. You remember Joseph? You remember how bitter his brothers were against him? He was the youngest. He was the favorite. So they had a right to be bitter. They were upset. And they became the curse, didn't they? They let that bitterness dwell in until they killed their brother, pretty much. They sold him into slavery. They went home and told dad, so the curse continued. Now dad's at home. Jacob's weeping. He thinks Joseph's dead, thinks he got ate by an animal. I mean, just all the years that went by, and Joseph said, the curse ain't going to start here. I'm not going to sit in prison and be a curse. I'm not going to sit in prison and let the termite eat at me. He continued to trust God. Man, what an example. And when the time finally came and the famine hit, Joseph was God's blessing flowing through him to save a nation, to save the very ones who did what? Wronged him. He became the flow through. And we look back at Joseph today and we're like, wow. That can be all of us. God's saying, I want to work through the hardest, the darkest, the worst moments in your life to be the biggest and the greatest blessings to your life and to others. He can do that. Do you remember what Adam said whenever in Genesis 3, when God said, what happened? The woman you gave me, she made me do it. Now, he didn't just blame Eve. He blamed God. He did not agree, God, this is your fault. Part of this process, if this is just you today and you're sitting there and you're just saying, man, this is why my words sometimes are just, I don't even know where they come from. And God's saying, hey, there's a termite in there. I want to get rid of him. But you got to agree that I'm not to blame. I want you to agree today that I didn't wrong you, but man, I can work through it to bless you and to bless so many others. Thirdly, we could say this. How to stop the curse and start the blessing? Dwell on how much you have been forgiven. Look to him and say, whoa, this isn't about how much I've been hurt. I want to look to the cross and I want to soak in how much I've been forgiven. The ocean ran dry with ink because we can't write the love of God. Why? Because that love represents how much we've been forgiven. And the sky ain't big enough. The ocean wouldn't have enough ink. So Romans chapter 4 tells us this, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered, wiped clean. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. So the Apostle Paul is quoting David in Psalm 32 here. This is the God of the Old Testament. This is the God of the New Testament. And just really think of this. Which one of us today would want to say this? Hey, God, I'll let you forgive me of all of my sins, but that one, I'll pay for it myself. Starting today, that one sin, I'll pay for it. I can take it. Who'd want that? I mean, really, when we step back, part of sometimes the reason people are so rude and maybe those harsh words come out of our mouths is because we lose sight of the beauty of what we've been given and how much we've been forgiven. And so as a church, we just want to keep coming back to the beauty of the gospel. We get this week to share and make the gospel, the love of God, magnificent for kiddos. We've got 62 kids that have already signed up. That's not even counting who may come from the county that didn't call or text. I mean, that's exciting as a church because we get to convey this message. Number four. If I want to stop the curse and start the blessing, forgive as you've been forgiven and reconcile if possible. Now, these two things look separate. Hey, that's two different things. No, it's together. Here's why. It's easy to say, yeah, I forgave them for what they did to me. Yeah, I know I'm forgiven and I have forgiven. Have you talked to them about it? No. Why do I got to do that? I've forgiven them. I'm fine. These two things always, they always go together. In other words, Jesus always wants us to make an effort because of who he is. Because he wants to be the blessing through us and to others. To as much as it depends upon you, to reconcile with the person who wronged you, who hurt you, who did the worst to you. I know that's tough. Let's read one verse together. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says this. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Period? No. Comma. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. God's will has always been to bless his people, but to then bless others through his people. In the way that we respond, and we all know this, we know this. If you go try to deal with it, sometimes it may blow up in your face. But at least you tried. At least as much as it's dependent upon you, you tried to go and to deal with it, to apologize, to talk about it, to reconcile. So what happens if it blows up and it gets worse and there's nothing else? Do we leave angry now? No. Now we put it in his hands. We put it in his hands. Lord, I've tried to be the blessing. I've forgiven as you have forgiven me. I've sought to reconcile it. Lord, it's in your hands. And he says, beloved, you don't have to avenge yourself. Don't worry about it. Don't try to get revenge. Don't try to get back. And don't live beat up by it the rest of your life. And don't let it dictate your words anymore. But rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Romans 12:19. Here's the idea. I get it. There's things, there may be people that are watching today or listening to the podcast that are just saying, but do you know how much was done to me? Do you know how hard it was? In fact, you don't know because you weren't in my shoes. And that's true. That's true. Because at the end of the day, what do we want justice, don't we? We want justice. But what God wants first is he wants us to first want the same salvation and the grace that's been shown to us to be released to that person. God, I leave it in your hands, and my heart is for you to rescue that person. But at the end of the day, I do know this. Justice will be yours. When it's all said and done, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to hang on to this anymore and let it just build and build and build and let other people suffer the consequences. The person that hurts you the most may not even be alive anymore. God says it's in my hands. God says don't let what's dead and gone still have the right to dictate what I want to say through you today. It's over. And then here's the final thing. God says, in order for us to be the blessing, in order for us to be the continuous conduit of his blessing, he said, I want you to live as one loved. I want you to live as one loved and keep discovering that love, keep saturating yourself in my love, and then be the flow through of my love. Can you just hear Jesus for a second? As the Father loved me, as the Father chastised me? No. As the Father just beat me up? No. As my Heavenly Father has loved me, he looks into the eyes of his disciples. He said, I love you. You know, as dads, sometimes we can think this, but never say it. Let the ears of your kids be filled with the words, I love you. I'm so glad that God let me be your mom, your dad, your friend, your cousin. I'm so glad that God lets us share life together. I think you're awesome. Man, there's so much bad in this world that fills our minds. God wants the church to abide in his love, so that we're constantly the flow through of that love. Can you hear those words? I wonder if some of the disciples said, yeah, I remember that day you got baptized. I remember that day that John baptized you, Jesus. And when you come up out of the water, there were words coming from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Don't just think it. He didn't just think it. He spoke it. He put it into words. Dads, we're given one of the greatest privileges in all the world. Let's say it. Let's say it. And let's say it over and over. Church, we're given the opportunity of a lifetime. We get to be words. We get to take that love and convey it into words to people and say, you matter. You matter. And I love you. Let's pray. Father, it's here that we bow. I pray, Lord, with smiles on our faces. I pray, Lord, just let us soak it in what it looks like to say, wow, I am so loved. He wants a relationship with me so bad that he would let the most unjust, worst thing ever happen to the most innocent person ever, his son, in order to tell me and show me he loves me. And he wants my words. Father, we thank you that you want our words to be the expression of that love. Lord, forgive us. For every heart in the room that just needs to say, Lord, forgive me when my words are the flow through of a curse. God, I pray for that person that says it ends today. I pray for that person that says, today I make a declaration with my words that that person will no longer have the permission to dictate who I am and how I live. It's only you, Lord. It's only you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.